Just
you stop me. Go ahead.
No, I just want to make sure when you're done, I have clear direction on the question that you want me to find out. And there's several attorneys and firms that deal in this kind of stuff that dealt with both. And I don't know if they still even practice, but the Petersburg power attorney that they had, our attorney, I don't know if they're still even in practice, but they would. I think we could probably get a hold of them. They, if they don't do it, they would have people that do, but they deal in power issues. And those two particular ones certainly are familiar with the whole Four Dam Pool issue. So, and there may be others, but specifically, I guess, just to make sure I understand the question to be asked them, so we're very clear on what answer you want from them, whether we can, whether we're allowed to, or we have grounds to stand on if to have these included, and or does SEPA have the ability or the authority to deny them? I guess is that's the
I guess my biggest
question?
Thing is if the biggest portion is if they're not going to pay their portion on it, can we legally take it from paying them? Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be the first question. Can't we say, no, we're not going to give you, how you wrote it in here in the last portion on it, manager is directed to deduct these O&M expenses from the monthly power purchase from SEPA.
There's a self-help provision that basically things like this that come up, you can do that.
Okay.
However, you're still going to get down to that question because you're still going to need the attorney to tell you that you have the right to do that. But if you're going to lose the argument anyway, is there any point in doing that? So you might want to ask the question, we're looking at challenging this through the self-help provision,
right,
and ask the attorney, do we have legal grounds in which to do that, and is it likely that we would win that argument, or based on the things that are in place with Four Dam Pool and SEPA, that they have the ability to say no to those things. So I think that's where the question lies, is whether or not they would advise us that, yes, you have the right. We always have the right to do the self-help, but that's just going to put the question before everybody, and you're still going to have to get an attorney to argue that question. It might be better to get the attorney to say, this is what we don't believe that they have the right to tell us no here, that these costs are not eligible, and ask them, do we have any grounds?
Okay. Then if we can ask one more question, and I'm sorry, if there is something in our agreement between Petersburg and us that says they have to come up with this, there is absolutely nothing. It's just that. You gotta be kidding me.
I think the question that's being brought up in the lead and the direction that Jeff is asking for is part of what I asked in this motion is that under the accounting fees under FERC code 539. That's the question we gotta ask the attorney.
But I think it's two different things. I don't think there's any question that generally the description under the FERC code that it describes these kind of things. What you have is you have a document that the Four Dam Pool adopted, and that when the divestiture happened and Kodiak and Valdez went their separate ways, that SEPA inherited all these documents and operating procedures. One of those says that these are not allowed under their operating protocol. So I don't think there's any question that they're FERC eligible. It's whether or not SEPA has the right under their operating documents that says they're not, whether they have the right to enforce that or they shouldn't be able to. I guess that's the crux of the problem is I don't think it's a question that they're eligible in the normal FERC process, but whether or not SEPA has the right and that's the question, do they have the right to use their O&M or their manual there that they've adopted and it was brought in with the divestiture, whether that is something they can hang their hat on and say, no, this is what we operate under, this is something that was part of what was voted on when we went our separate directions, and I guess that's the question, is whether they have the authority and right to use that provision to deny things that would normally be a FERC-eligible expense.
Since we are SEPA, too. I mean, as it stands, we are SEPA. We are the representative, but I mean, they work for us.
Well,
not really.
It's
I know, but I just like to say that. I know, but it's.
They're a private entity.
I know it, but they're still.
So I agree with part of the questions you're coming up with. The other part of that, my concern would be then. Energy Committee or what? The other part of that question is if Thomas Bay authority was under RIDE, would those still be acceptable charges? In other words, we took them over. That question needs to be answered to that. Maybe that's the push to come to shove.
Let me do this. Let me come up how I understand the question that you want asked. I can get that distributed to see if people agree that that's the crux of the question you want me to find out. And then I can contact to see if we can find there's attorneys out there. And I can also tell you it's not going to be cheap. It wasn't cheap when 20 years ago when, you know, it was $350 an hour for Eric Redmond, and he was kind of the one that wrote the 4M,
yes,
the long-term power sales agreement. Mm-hmm. And he was our power attorney, and whether he probably doesn't even practice, probably retired.
He's still working.
Is he?
Yep.
Okay. And I know Eric, and I certainly, you know, could venture there and see what he has to say. So, but let me write out, come up with something that this is the question that you want answered to make sure that I'm going forward with what kind of what we're asking here. But I think I can do that. And then once I do that, I can at least make contact with him to see if he's willing to look at that. And then I'll come back with something prior to doing that. Is that fair enough?
I think everything he describes.
Okay.
Good group.
Mayor?
Is everybody in agreement with that,
I'm in agreement with that. That's fine, and I fully support getting sort of educated through asking an attorney for some advice. But I wanted to just make a couple of comments. That we have basically two documents that say one, you know, and on this hand, you know, non-net billable are not allowed, and then you have this other, okay, a self-help clause, you can deduct it if you think it's legitimate. Then we also have our past practice. And so that's what the attorneys, I believe, are going to look at. So we'll find out that official, you know, opinion. But I also wanted to bring to everyone's attention, because I almost lost it myself, but in this resolution that Petersburg is considering, in the title, at the end, it says, and they suggest that the non-net billable expenses be paid by SEPA. Okay? So they're asking the same thing yet again. The difference with this, though, is there's new information. They're giving something to get something in return, right? I mean, you know, they're compromising in a way. But the other thing about this is it includes $750,000 that would be in Wrangell and Petersburg's benefit. And I don't think we can ignore that. And in fact, that's the thing that the Ketchikan guys that you showed us are complaining about. No, we don't absorb that $750,000. We're not in agreement with that. That's the bigger potatoes than this non-net billable. So we got to consider the whole package too.
I don't think we need a motion on that. I can just direct it without objection from the rest pending to the assembly. I can just direct.
But before I have him actually do it, like I said, I'll make sure I get that passed around to make sure everybody agrees with what we're going to be asking, and then I'll make sure I get permission from the assembly, and maybe that's at the next meeting or something to engage Mr. whoever it is, if it's Mr. Redmond, huh? Or Mrs. Well, if it is Mr. Redmond, he certainly is one sharp guy when it comes to power, so.
Yeah, pretty good contract together.
Okay. I think we talked that out a lot. So let's move on to the next agenda item.
What is it?
13C, consideration and possible action regarding the sale of city side lands to Donald and Betsy McConaughey, North Estate.
I just thought I'd come up in case you had some questions. But I'll guarantee you, I won't ask you to send a letter.
Well, we don't have any. There's no motion or anything. We just go ahead and have a discussion.
Discussion and possible action.
Yeah, just go ahead and you can go ahead and start. Okay.
My name's Don McConaughey. 622 Zamovia Highway, Wrangell, Alaska. Basically, the motion that I'd like you to make and pass is what's written in the request by the Borough Assembly, and you transfer the deed of tidelands of Lot 8, Block 83A to the North Estate. Furthermore, that the appraisal fee be waived and that the condition of the sale of the tidelands is stated in Wrangell Municipal Code 1612.040, paragraphs A, D, and C also be waived. That's basically what I'm asking. I've been here, a month ago, a month and a half ago, whatever it was, and since that time we have got a letter from the Port Commission and also the Planning and Zoning saying that they have no problem and they have no use for this particular area. The area that we're speaking of is the tidelands that are in front of the house that is on Case Avenue. It's a very small piece of property, and thanks to the city clerk and everything, we do have information as to what they sold for back in the 60s when all this sort of things transpired, and I'm more than willing to pay that price and do what it is. I realize, of course, it's probably worth a fair amount more now in this day and age, but we also have the tax bill that includes, it says the additional information includes Block 83A by Lot 8, so I would contend that we have been paying taxes on that for a substantial amount of years. So. That's the reason for my request, and we would like to. Go ahead. I'll quit talking.
The original letter from this stated that land wasn't okayed at the time that Tidelands was originally incepted.
Yeah.
Concepted. So.
The uplands were accepted, yep. Yeah. And the tidelands.
The tideland area below that. You settled the top one, but the tideland below that wasn't settled at that.
To the best of our knowledge, there was letters sent out to Marie Knorr, and although I can't be sure, I mean, it's just something I'm presuming that she either didn't understand it, thought that she already owned that particular properties and did nothing about it, or whatever the case may be. I honestly can't be sure, and I'm just guessing. So,
just
go ahead first, and I got a question for you.
back in the, just kind of go through this real quick, the, back in the 60s, the city was given the tidelands to the Inner Harbor from the state of Alaska. And at that time, anybody that had structures on there that they had kind of used those as their own were given a preferential right to purchase those. And so anyway, there was a handful that the people bought, they were given deeds, and they were put on the tax roll. Mrs. Norris' property, her name was listed as a preferential person to that this existed, this condition existed, and she was put on the tax rolls, but there was never a deed issued where there were on the other ones. So it is hard to tell. There was a mistake made somewhere. Either she did pay and the city, you know, didn't get the deed to her, or she didn't pay and therefore we didn't give her a deed, but somehow the connection didn't get to the other people, the tax department, that maybe when they added all the others, they just added everybody. And so she probably started getting the tax bill and thought everything was hers and moved on. So they have been paying taxes all these years. So it's just hard to tell. There's not enough paperwork to know whether it was, there was a deed issued but never recorded and then lost, whether there was no deed issue and she didn't pay for it, or if she did pay for it, and like I said, the deed thing didn't happen. It's just hard to tell, but this is kind of where we're at.
I do have a question. The appraisal fee and the what's the other one that they wanted waived? Is that any substantial amount?
Could be. A survey, as an example, it can get. I mean, you're paying thousands of dollars. So, and back then when they did it, they didn't require. They like I said, they had a preferential right through a certain period of time, and after that, they lost that. That right.
That was the question that I was alluding to, was the fact that there was a time limit back then.
Right.
And my question would be then, if you do this, the same as we had the Backe problem. And then I know of other kind lands that are not absolutely, totally clear. Is this going to be the precedent set that we can go back and correct the other ones?